This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
You're listening to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu. EasyPod is a 24/7 laundry locker service focused on delivering value and convenience. Started in 2017, these pods have been spreading across the Klang Valley and also expanding beyond the laundry industry. And on the show with me today is Venon Tien. He's the co-founder and the COO of EasyPod. And we're going to chat about, you know, your challenges in cleaning people's dirty laundry and more. But Venon, perhaps a bit about yourself first.
I'm from KL. I'm a law grad, didn't practice law, have always wanted to run online businesses, which I started when I was in college. And that's how I actually funded my unis and all those. And as soon as I came out, I actually worked with one of the bigger organizations in terms of e-commerce, learned my way through it, met some fantastic people. And that's how I actually started a coin laundromat business. Yeah, and then eventually, because I've always wanted things to be online, so we started Laundry Hero. Yeah, so basically to pick up clothes from your house and then to send to our coin laundromats. But then at that point of time, I guess it was also a timing issue as well. App wasn't such a big thing. Ordering things online wasn't such a big thing yet. I mean, even people like Foodpanda was actually struggling. So,
Laundry Hero was in what year?
2014.
Oh, okay.
2014. So, it was like 5 years ago. I mean, you don't order Foodpanda 5 years ago, right? So, it was very, very new. People liked the idea, but not willing to pay. Yeah, so we underpriced ourselves. We were testing out. People liked it, but it's just that operationally, it was very tough. Logistically, it was very tough as well. Yeah, so then along the way, we continued the coin laundromat. And then along the way, we still had the passion for something that's online with laundry, because we've been doing laundry anyway. So then we were searching up online and what can we do related to online laundry. And there came about EasyPod. Yeah, so we started this laundry thing.
And what's the fascination, before we dive deeper into EasyPod and, you know, the how is it different from your previous Laundry Hero and the challenges that you face, what's your fascination with this service itself, with the laundry services, the laundry industry, especially, you know, you're a law grad that you mentioned, right? Like there are so many other kinds of millions of online businesses that you could do. What's the obsession or the passion in this sector?
Well, at first it was more of like stumble upon this particular business, because people say that, oh, it's good money, probably you should just start a laundry business. Eventually, it's something where I see which have a lot of room to grow. There are not many young people. I mean, during that time I was young, I was only in my 20s. So during that time, you can see that there are not many young guys who wants to be in the laundry industry. Yeah, so that definitely gives us the competitive edge in terms of what are the new things we can bring into this particular industry, such as technology, apps, and how can you relate online to laundry itself. So we were like, oh, probably this is something that we can go into, rather than fighting with people in terms of e-commerce, in terms of food delivery, in terms of all sorts of other online businesses as well.
And when you say the tech in the space, it's not just the machines that would clean your clothes, right? Because it's the entire layers of the business, the transportation, the app services, and of course then the hardware, but also more importantly, EasyPod is being utilized as more of like an app base that, you know, you have your app that you use to unlock lockers and stuff, right? So with that though, EasyPod was launched in what year was this?
EasyPod was launched in late 2017. In fact, we had the idea in 2015. That is when we actually searched out for a vendor to build these lockers itself. However, we were a bit busy in 2016, so we thought maybe we should delay and postpone this idea to slightly later date. And then we only managed to build the app in 2017. And in late 2017 was the date where we first launched our first locker. Yeah, and with regards to what you mentioned earlier in terms of tech with laundry, I mean, in the industry itself, you don't see a lot of tech when it comes to laundry. When you tell people, oh, what you do, I'll be doing this related tech, I'm doing fintech, I'm doing IoT, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But you don't hear a lot of people doing laundry. Yeah, so This is something that makes us unique. This is something that makes us special. It's also something that we see in the future where how we can, I wouldn't use the word disrupt, but more of modernizing laundry services as a whole.
All right. Yeah. And I guess then, you know, we need to explain what exactly is EasyPod.
Okay, EasyPod is actually a laundry service which comes from a laundry locker itself, which means it allows you to drop your laundry into the locker. And then once it's being processed and whatnot, you can actually pick it up from the locker itself. And what makes this locker so special is that they are really smart. Smart in the sense that you just use an app, which we have built in-house. And then all you have to do is just select the service that you want. So for instance, if today you want to dry clean your clothes, select dry cleaning, QR code will pop up, just scan, locker will open itself, just drop it in, close it back. One of our guys will actually pick it up. Pick it up, the process, 2 working days later, it'll be returned to the locker and you receive a push notification through your phone saying that it's ready. Payment, everything is through the app as well. So if you look at how you used to do your dry cleaning, your ironing and whatnot, you'll probably drop by one of the traditional dry cleaners and then you have to park your car, you have to walk down, you speak to someone, oh, I want to dry clean my clothes, and someone is there to write your receipt. So this locker itself actually eliminates all these processes, which we find pretty much redundant because a lot of times these staffs are just sitting there for 12 hours just waiting for you to come and pick up your clothes, which we think that we can replace with technology. Right. Yeah, so with the app, with the hardware itself, it actually replaces the entire, or I would say that it enhances your retail experience in terms of dropping off your clothes and picking up your clothes as well.
And you mentioned hardware, as in, I guess it's the storage locker itself, right? These lockers are unique because they were built to for this purpose itself.
Yes, that's right.
And how was that process like? And what makes this locker smart?
Well, there are, in certain ways, you can call it an IoT device because it connects our software, the app, together with the hardware itself. So the lockers are just pretty much sealed lockers. However, there are different components in the locker itself which allows our app to actually activate to unlock it. So for instance, if Jeff, you have to drop off your clothes today, and then once it's done, we have a unique QR code that's tied to your particular order that allows you to collect your clothes. And also, of course, the system will be able to identify whether you've paid for your order or not. Do you have enough credits for us to deduct? That's what makes it smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you own these lockers that has been built and all?
Yeah. I mean, we buy them outright. However, we actually work with a partner based in Thailand itself who actually manufactures them. They run a similar business in Bangkok and they have a chain of about 150 lockers by now.
Right.
Yeah. So we've actually learned from that particular experience and we brought this entire idea into Malaysia.
And how many of these lockers do you have scattered around Kuala Lumpur? Is it Malaysia, like throughout Malaysia or just KL?
No, it's only in Klang Valley right now. Mm. So we have about 30 of them. But we are expanding aggressively. So every month we're looking at about 2 to 3.
All right.
Yeah.
And so where can actually people find these lockers? Like, are you looking in certain types of areas or locations, buildings? And what kind of areas are you looking at?
Our main location that you are able to find us or we would like to deploy are in condominiums. So if you imagine back in the days, a lot of buildings would have a laundry room. Mm-hmm. However, like I mentioned earlier, staffs are pretty much redundant. So imagine you have 200 units, but then there's a staff downstairs waiting for you to drop off your clothes. It's pretty much redundant. So condominiums are actually our main target. Next to it would be shopping malls. So a couple of shopping malls we are in actually wouldn't want to rent out to laundry services because they think that there's a higher commercial value to it. So they think that, oh, it's actually a waste of space for you to actually place your clothes, hang there, and it looks not so glamorous. So by having a locker there makes them look smarter as well. Mm. Yeah.
Would malls actually have a high traffic of people sending in their laundries and stuff?
They are. In fact, if you think about some people who go and do their grocery shopping quite often, they would just drop off their laundry and then come back a couple of days later if, let's say, they want to buy their groceries again. So if you checked out, the tier one malls itself usually will have a laundry service on lower ground or basement near the car park, which is quite convenient for you to actually drop off. Mm-hmm. So malls will make a little sense for us, but it will definitely make more sense for us if the mall itself has residences and, whatnot.
Yeah. And there's a few of them here in Klang Valley as well.
Yeah.
But condominiums are definitely a place that you want to get into. You mentioned currently there are some condominiums that already have some sort of Dobi services or laundry services. Some also operated using using coin machines, right? They have those kind of coin operated laundry services. How do you differ from those? Because those eliminate the wastage of manpower, having a person just be there for 12 hours or so. How do you differ from those, coin-operated laundry services?
Okay, coin laundromats are slightly different in the sense that it allows you to actually wash and also dry at the same time. Of course, it will also mean that you need to have the time for you to be waiting there to wash and dry and then for you to fold before you head back. Our lockers itself does cater to a different segment of customers, which is more on dry cleaning customers. Like, for instance, your blazers, some of your slightly nicer clothes will require dry cleaning. We provide wash and fold services as well. So it's slightly more of a bit high-end to it. We provide ironing service as well, which coin laundromats doesn't provide. And the latest service that we provide is actually shoe cleaning. Right. So you can actually drop it off into the lockers itself. Our guys will pick it up and then we'll shoe clean it.
And who runs this cleaning services when, if I were to drop off some of my clothes into this locker and then you will come and pick it up. And so I guess you own the transportation services, the delivery guys who pick it up, and then where do they drop it off, and do you own those services as well?
Okay, so in terms of logistics, yes, we actually own a fleet of vans and drivers and whatnot to pick up clothes from all these lockers as well. As for the processing plant itself, shoe cleaning, we are actually working with one of the reputable brands in town. It's actually called Shoe Mall. I think they've established a brand for themselves as well.
We've had them on the show too.
They were here, I think, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And then for the laundry side of it, we actually outsource it to a partner, very close partner, which it's not related, but a very close partner who handles them really well. So this particular partner actually processes hotel guest laundry for all these hotels in KL, PJ and whatnot. So we have an office in their processing plant as well, just to do all the QCs and data entry and whatnot.
And is it just one location that does all the cleaning services and all? Because you scatter around Klang Valley and then hopefully you plan to go bigger as well, so your delivery will be wider, or do you plan to have more of these kind of partners so that you don't have to travel that far?
Okay, so currently we only work with one particular processing plant, just so that we can smoothen our operations, making sure everything works well. However, our future plans is that we will be working with different plants in different locations. But of course, this particular partner has different plants in different locations as well. So we are also looking to expand out of just this particular plant. Yeah, so it depends on the volume, it depends on the location that we are. But however, because we are only in Klang Valley right now, so this particular location is quite strategic for us to drop off and have our office there as well. So it's not so much of a pain yet. However, as it grows bigger, we will work with more different location-based plants.
I'm speaking to Van and Tian, the co-founder and the COO of EasyPod. And when we come back, we'll talk about the journey of building the app all in-house. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9. The Business Station. You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And we're back with me, Jeff Sandu, together with Van and Tian. He's the co-founder and the COO of EasyPod. And we're talking about the challenges of smart storage lockers. And one main aspect of making all this work is the app itself. And Venon, you mentioned earlier that the app was built in-house. So talk us through that journey of building an app that has, IoT functions that, talks to a locker.
Okay, so when we first started, we actually... EasyPod was actually tagging along with our sister company's app, which is called EasyPay, EasyPay's main function was to allow you to operate coin laundromats by just a scan of QR and then you can just pay from there rather than using coins. because we run a chain of coin laundromats. So EasyPay was built for that. And when we first started EasyPod itself, we were a bit skeptical in as to whether people will accept this as a new concept people will use. So we thought, oh, maybe we just have it as a sub function for EasyPod itself under the app. So if you can see in our old app, as soon as you've used EasyPod, you will see a locker function. But recently, we launched our new app, which is EasyPod, a full-fledged EasyPod app. It's slightly easier, so it skips certain steps, which is not necessary at all. It allows you to drop off with just two clicks, and then it allows you to pick up with just a scan of a QR. So it's much easier for the consumer to use. But when it comes to building the app itself, it wasn't easy. I'm not a programmer myself, but of course we have developers in-house to do it. It was quite tough because we had to link with the lockers. It's not just a hardware that we're building, or it's not just a software that we're building. It's a connection that the software and the hardware has to speak to each other. So it was quite tough. Although our guys had the experience in terms of building EasyPay, but that was of lesser functions. The newer one had slightly more features, more services that allows you to use.
Mm-hmm.
So it was tough. It took us about half a year to build that.
Wow.
Yeah, compared to the EasyPay, which took us about 3 to 4 months.
Mm.
Yeah, so it took us quite a bit. Yeah.
What was your learnings with your previous Laundry Hero startup that also kind of works around similar, the same industry? What were some of the learnings that you brought on over to EasyPod and, you know, don't want to make the same mistake twice?
Okay, so what I've actually learned from Laundry Hero is that on-demand laundry requires a lot of resource. So it's pretty much like your food delivery business. It's pretty much like a logistics business where when someone calls or makes an order, you have to go up to them and collect your clothes and whatnot. It requires a lot of resource. The unit economics doesn't make quite a lot of sense to us because, for instance, if one condo, you only have one unit who wants to pick up during that day, you will actually have to drive all the way from your plant all the way there to pick it up and then send it back. The amount of money that you make wasn't that great either. So we thought, hey, why not have a pickup drop-off point where you can just drop off and then our guys will run on a routine basis whereby if let's just say someone actually drop off today before our cutoff time, we pick it up from there. And it doesn't require these guys to actually go up to that particular unit, which wastes a lot of time. Of course, time equals to money. Yeah, so these are the things that we learned from Laundry Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's a set time or a routine that all the drivers kind of take, and you know, and you just got to be in that time frame in order for it to be picked up.
Not exactly. So on a daily basis, you have a cutoff time at 9:30 a.m. in the morning. So if let's say you drop off before 9:30, we guarantee to pick up on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as our drivers pass by the lockers and know that there's actually someone who actually dropped off, we'll pick it up from the locker itself and then send it to process. But if let's say no one is there, then our guys will just skip that particular locker.
And on your end, you get this information of when someone drops an item off, and then you'll know that, you know, this locker is currently being filled and needs to be picked up and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we actually have a real-time dashboard to actually see who has dropped off, whether if that locker is being occupied and whatnot. Yeah, so we have different color-coded lockers to tell us whether it's being occupied or not, someone dropped off, or we have already returned the customer's clothes.
And from the consumer's point of view, they just want to know how much does this cost? Because cost is, you know, at the end of the day, for a consumer, it's going to be the key factor into whether they get into this or they don't, or they just stick to whatever traditional services that they have. So how much would it cost for someone to actually use EasyPod?
Okay, our cheapest service is actually ironing service. So it's 2 ringgit per iron. It comes together with free hangers as well. Of course, we encourage our customers to return the hangers just for recycling purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The next one up is wash and iron service, which is 3 ringgit per piece. So all these are prices per piece. So it's 3 ringgit per piece for wash and ironing as well. It comes back together with a hanger, and then we hang it back, and then we hang it back to the locker. Next one up will be dry cleaning, which is starts from 7 ringgit per piece. So for a top, a shirt, a men's shirt will be 7 ringgit. Coats and blazers are 15 ringgit. And of course, winter jackets, 25. It has different pricing for dry cleaning. Mm. And then we have a different category for wash and fold, which is by kg. It's minimum 4 kgs per wash. Mm. So it's 550 per kg. So minimum 4 kgs will be 22 ringgit. Yeah, so it comes in a load where you can just dump everything. And these are for more of your casual clothing, which you do not want to put it with a coin laundromat. Or if you do not have the time, you can just do this.
And how does this price differ compared to other kinds of players in the market in terms of your coin services when it comes to your wash and dry and also just your traditional kind of Dobby mats that you would have?
Okay, so if you are comparing us with coin laundromats, we are definitely more expensive. So we are here to provide a convenient service. So it's definitely more expensive. However, if you're comparing us to traditional laundries or dry cleaners, we are not more expensive or not cheaper. I mean, we're not here to compete in terms of price. We're here to provide convenience to our customers where it gives you the flexibility in terms of your time. Mm. So if you are comparing to different locations, for instance, if you talk about PJ, Bangsa, Monkera, these locations could be slightly more expensive than us. So for dry cleaning, we charge 7 ringgit per piece for a shirt. For PJ, Bangsa, Monkera areas, you could be paying between 7 to 10, depending on the shop size, the renovation and whatnot, and who serves you. Mm-hmm. And if you're comparing with slightly more suburban areas, maybe slightly more southern part of KL, those places are charging between 6 to 7 ringgit, 6 to 8 for dry cleaning, for a shirt. Mm. Yeah, so we're positioning ourselves in the middle. So we are not too expensive. We are not we are not cheaper than others as well.
But your prices does come included with the delivery as well?
Yeah. So we don't charge anything in terms of delivery. So it just it's just pretty much if you just imagine that particular locker is just like a retail shop. It's just that there's no human interaction. Everything is through the app. You just scan, drop it in. And then, we just deduct from the app itself.
And so some of the places that you are present in currently are in malls. And what kind of challenges do you face being in malls? Like, because I would assume that mall operators would normally just place you down in, like you mentioned, the car parks area, the basements floors and stuff, right? And it's quite difficult to get traffic to, instant human traffic or eyeballs to see, EasyBot is here and, this is what you do because you're relatively new still in the market. How do you deal with these kind of challenges being placed in, areas, obscure areas?
I think ultimately it depends on how you sell to that particular leasing manager and how they actually buy your particular idea itself. So I still remember this very first rejection that we have more than a year ago, a year and a half ago, when we approached this shopping mall, which I'm not going to name. Yeah, so when we first approached them and they were like, okay, I'm happy to offer you a place, but you can have basement 4. Basement 4 is actually where they have all their staff's bus, I think. It's sort of like a logistics for their staffs and whatnot base, which these are not exactly our target market. So I asked, can we be in B2 or B1, at least where your barbers are, where your massage services are? And it was like, oh, this idea, I don't know whether it will work. So maybe you should try out with B4 first and let's see how it goes. Well, then the first thing that came to my mind was that, well, if you're going to put me in B4, it definitely won't work.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So why not give us an opportunity to show you that this actually works and it's actually really convenient for your mall goers. But they didn't actually like it. But of course, along the way, we met different leasing managers who actually like our idea. They actually they probably bring their clothes out to wash and they know the pain of having to wait for a shop to open. And then by the time when they're off work, the shop closes. So they know the pain. And they really like it. So they actually accepted us into their malls. And then when we tried out, everyone loved it after that. So we have in one mall, which we placed in two different locations because it's really always full. So for the past month, we have been receiving a lot of complaints where, hey, your lockers are full. So can you just place another locker in this mall itself?
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's actually a good problem. So we were like in negotiations with the mall, this is actually something that your mall goers actually like. So can we have another spot? And they liked it. But of course, in between, we had a bit of negotiations, rental and whatnot. But it's ultimately how people accept the idea. Of course, as we grow, it gets easier. but we would still like to be in all these tier one malls, which we are not in yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's required to sort of operate or manage or run these lockers? Like they're smart lockers, so I'm guessing, you know, one is the power supply is crucial. What else is kind of needed that mall operators need to know about your lockers?
Well, actually, all it requires is only an empty wall, which you do not use, and also just a standard plug point.
Mm.
Yeah, so all we have to do is just sort of like a plug and play kind of thing. Whenever we install, even when we install these lockers, it only takes about an hour. Yeah. So there's really no other requirements.
It's a very straightforward kind of process. It's just like any other lockers that you would buy.
Yeah, it's pretty much like in that way. But of course, that particular location has to be able to receive data as well, because we send data just so we know someone dropped off and whatnot.
Right.
So if you
and that's challenging though, because in basement car parks, generally, you know, it'll be tough to.
It's not that bad when it comes to B1, B2, because you can still send small data packs out. But if it's in B4, then it's a bit of a problem. But yeah. But so far, we are still managing quite well in terms of that.
Right. Yep. So do you then work with like a certain type of provider in order to get this kind of data, as a cloud provider that's helping you out to back this? All done in-house here, all the storage of the data and stuff?
Well, all this data are all in our service itself. Mm. Yeah. So we actually manage it. Of course, we host it with AWS and whatnot. Yeah.
And it's visually attractive as well, because that's one of the key areas, I guess, for malls or even condominiums or any buildings, offices, buildings. They would want not to just have, you know, plain lockers to be placed in their offices or their buildings. It has to be visually attractive as well. So you've done a couple of things to make it look more interesting.
Well, these lockers itself have our stickers on it. Mm. Yeah, so it actually promotes what we provide, for instance, laundry. And of course, our newer lockers that came in comes together with parcel services as well.
Mm.
So our new lockers will have these parcel designs that says that, oh, we accept parcels and, yeah.
So you're pivoting now to not just accepting laundries anymore. You're doing more than just laundries. It's becoming a storage locker as well.
It's more of like providing extra services to our users. Well, ultimately, we would like those who collect parcels from our lockers to convert into laundry users. Ultimately, I mean, our core is still laundry. We are not here in terms of a parcel locker. I'm sure you've seen quite a fair bit of parcel lockers out there. But we are not here to compete in terms of parcel locker. We are here just to provide an added value to those who would like to collect their parcel from our locker, since we are there and utilization is not like 100% every day and not in every location. So why not make use of this space that we have to collect parcels, allow users to collect parcels. As soon as they see that this is actually convenient, they might eventually use our laundry service.
Mm. Yeah. And so how do you get the consumers to understand and to experience this and to know that, you know what, I can actually alleviate some of your pain points when it comes to, you know, doing laundry? Because like you mentioned, you know, time is an essence, and, you know, sometimes these places are too far. It's hard to find a parking in these areas. You do it all for them. It seems like, you know, it's a great idea. Everyone has this problem, but yet you it's a struggle to get some of the buy-in from certain individuals, certain people from different industries. So why do you think it's a challenge at the moment?
The biggest challenge that we face is of always educating customers. Yeah, this is something very new. A lot of people are very reluctant to learn, or some of them that passes by or these lockers, they would just see, and whenever we approach them and tell them, oh, this is how you use, and they'll be like, why do I have to? This is not something that I'm used to. Yeah, so they don't really like that idea. But we try very hard. I mean, we have been doing a lot of marketing campaigns. We have promoters standing in front of lockers teaching people on how to use. We provide free wash credits just so that you can actually try it out. I mean, we don't mind losing a couple of orders just so that you can actually try. You don't like us, don't come back. If you love us, please continue using. Tell your friends about it. But that's something that we're doing very, very hard to convert users into... convert people into turning into our users.
Mm. What's the utilization rate at the moment? And like, you know, of course, you know, every day it fluctuates, but what's the kind of like ideal number that you would want to have on a sustainable basis?
Okay. So when we first started, for the first 6 months, our utilization is probably zero, I would say. When we first launched, we placed these lockers, people didn't know how to use. I was pretty much working one-man show, running all of these lockers, deploying, picking up and whatnot. So, the utilization rate was really, really bad. As we grew, we had a bigger team. We had a marketing team. We had sales guy in and whatnot. Our utilization increased. I would say we are between about 10% right now. However, an ideal utilization would be 50 to 70%.
Mm.
Yeah, which we are, I mean, along the way, it will increase, I'm pretty sure. And if we're able to hit 30% by next year, we are quite safe to hit our 50% mark, which we have always wanted to.
Mm. And one way to do that is to be in more areas so that more people know about you. But, you know, you got to also be careful in terms of where you expand your services. So what kind of factors do you consider that makes economic sense in expanding your business?
Okay, I think ultimately it's the demographic. The demographic will have to make sense. I mean, people who were dry clean, who require ironing service, young professionals, or housewives who wouldn't want to iron their clothes. Those who require, singles who just like to dump in and do wash and fold with us. Demographic is the key point. That's something that we have to look into. Location of the where we place as well. So, for instance, it has to be really convenient. It cannot be in basement floor, like you mentioned earlier. And then, the more locations we have, the more people will actually pick up our service, the more people will talk about it. It's pretty much the same when we first had our first 5 lockers, people were really reluctant. Now we had 30. When we tell one person, they might be like, oh, I've seen it somewhere, maybe I should try tonight. Yeah, so if we have 50, we have 100, it makes a lot of difference.
And what's the bulk of your cost at the moment? Is it, you know, the maintenance of these lockers, the in terms of the rental that you have to pay for where the lockers are being placed, or is it the transportation in terms of the delivery, picking up, delivering, or is it the service that you send this place to wash? Like, you know, is that the bulk, and how are you trying to reduce the cost down?
The bulk of the cost is still coming from the capex of all these lockers itself. So the lockers are, costing us a lot of cash up front,
because
obviously we have to build them, we have to maintain them and whatnot. In terms of operational costs, it's not that high. We're still maintaining well. We're also collecting clothes from all these hotels and whatnot, just so that we can cover back all these logistics and that we've been using to cover all these lockers. But operational costs will eventually go down. As soon as we grow. Because, of course, if, let's say, in one area you have 2 lockers versus you have 10 lockers in the area, but you're serving 10 different buildings, we'll make more money, but your cost will still be the same.
Yeah.
So that's what we are looking forward to.
And what's next for EasyPod? I know you want to hit 30% by hopefully by year this year in, and then you want to try and hit 50% by next year as well. So what's next in that journey to hit those numbers?
Educating customers. Mm. Yeah. So that's something that we're working very hard. What's next would be deploying more and more lockers. Yeah. So there are two core that we are focusing right now would be to get more and more users to use our service. Next thing would be, of course, increase our order size. Because some people will just try out, maybe, oh, I give you like 10 ringgit a week in terms of your order. But eventually, when they trust us, they like us, they will just, you know, just take my whole basket of clothes and you can just wash it. So that's something that we are aiming for. And then next thing, of course, will be to deploy more and more lockers in more and more buildings, condominiums, be in more tier one shopping malls, or even in some office buildings, which we can serve these people as well.
Do you see returning customers when they do experience this, and do you keep track of them, and do you see there are actually people who actually return, and they're quite frequent now?
Yeah, actually, our return rate in terms of customers are quite high. Mm. So for laundry business itself, usually when you are tied to one, it's actually quite hard for you to actually move on to another, unless if the other actually offers a better service. It's cheaper in terms of price, cleaner as well. Yeah, so our customer lifetime value, it's much higher compared to other businesses.
And finally, I guess, you know, we've been talking about EasyPod, but it's spelled differently. It's spelled EZIPOD, and that's where I guess people just have to go online and do a search, and they'd be able to find all the information. It's very simple. It's two clicks. This is what you mentioned on earlier on the show.
Yeah.
Two clicks for you to actually then get your laundries being picked up and, yep, and dropped off within the space of 48 hours. Is that right?
Yeah, two working days.
Two working days. Mm. All right. And people can go and check it out. I guess you're on everywhere on all the social media platforms and stuff.
Yeah, we are.
All right. Venon, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've been speaking to Venon Tien. He's the co-founder and the COO of EasyPod. And we were talking about their challenges in been cleaning other people's dirty laundry and even more. And if you missed any parts of this show, you can download the podcast now, available through all the channels that you get your podcast fix. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. When pioneering computer programmer Ray Tomlinson sent the first electronic email to himself in 1971, he had no idea how deeply that tiny electronic message would change the world. Today, innovations come so thick and fast that it's hard to keep track. Yet, some of these innovations may have a far deeper impact on the world than email. Take 5G, for example. We're only starting to imagine these changes that data-rich systems will bring to our world. Real-time virtual and augmented reality for mobile devices are the tip of a development iceberg that is poised to transform the way we live and work. A 5G future, enabling a hyper-connected ecosystem made possible by TM1. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.